No way.
We're back and better than ever. Welcome back to the Full Court Press podcast.
The Full Court Press.
It's a terrible name, and I'm glad they're dead.
Still a better name than the Thunder.
Hey, my name's Lutha. Come on, man. Just shoot me.
How could there be more? I don't understand.
Dear God. Joined today here by Bald.
Fuck you guys. He's ass. This will come back to bite him in the ass.
Sandy.
I heard he had sex with a couple thousand thugs. Yeah, I got a load of handle at the time for conception.
And Duke?
Donkey basket.
This is objectively a great idea.
Finger wag. I prefer not.
It's the only podcast made by fools for fools. Or should I shoot myself?
No.
Figuratively.
Everything will be fine.
All right, we're back and better than ever. Thank you so much for listening to Full Court Press Podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. I'm joined today by Sandy. Sandy, say hi.
Hey, what's going on? It's Sando.
Sandy. All right, Sandy. So we're going to be talking. We're going to start off this episode like we started off episodes previously. Not recently, but previously, with our topics du jour, our topics of the day, our topics de jante, our topics de...
I wasn't expecting to have this bit come back.
That's what I love about you, Sandy, that, you know, we finish each other's sentences. I was also thinking the topics to, I wasn't expecting this bit to come back.
Yeah, there we go.
Possibly an episode title.
And weeks and weeks of us not doing it, it's just, we do that, yeah. The topics that I don't really know.
All right, so topics de jante. So, there's been some changes. Giddy might be diddling a child. There's issues with LeBron James being dramatic with the Rockets. There was the no-win November for the Detroit Pistons. Adidas trash-talking Durant. We have some trade rumors as trade season's opening up, with the fact that we've passed the 40 the 25 game threshold for some teams. So Sandy, we also have some teams that got sold. So Sandy, what do you want to talk about?
Well, personally, I'm curious about that Rockets game. Like what the heck is he may say that pissed off LeBron so much.
Oh, you didn't see?
I'm not sure what he said.
He called him a bitch. And now everyone knows
that LeBron. Oh, yeah, he hates that.
Yeah, LeBron is very sensitive about being called a bitch. And he said, we're grown men here. You don't have to call me that. And he walked over to him. And then Ime said that, you know what I said? Stop acting like you're tough, like you're going to do something about it, you little boy. And then he got kicked out.
One moment here, please. You fill while I'm Googling very specific stuff here. Okay. So,
all right. So while you're doing that, furthermore, in that Rockets game, Ime obviously got kicked out of the game. He afterwards said that we got punked by punks. It's surprising that we got out physicaled by that team that doesn't have a reputation of being physical. And then, of course, Fred VanVleet famously threw out Tari Eason, who was going to take the technical free throw. Because I mean, Tari Eason's a 43% free throw shooter. He shouldn't.
That's a funny ass clip. Fred VanVleet just looks at him indignantly, like, "Yo, get the hell out of here!"
He has like, so, who the fuck are you kidding?
So, again, what did Udoka say to LeBron James?
So he called him a bitch.
And then he called him. You said a little boy.
Yeah, something about being a little boy. Basically, he boyed him. He sunned him.
This man is not even 10 years older than LeBron. He was born...
They played against each other, didn't they? When Udoka was with the Spurs?
Probably. This man is 8 years... That's being generous. So I'm pretty sure it was 7 years in terms of like calendar years, but 8 in terms of age.
But he has... he had the look of like a, like he had that look of like a stern like grandfather that like would whoop your ass. Like if he like it was like if I had to right now, I would do it.
Like I feel like I'm taking LeBron in that fight. I don't think Doug's got old man strength.
I gotta be honest, I'm not sure how many times shit's got real with LeBron. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Udoka's had the scrap a few times.
Did you know that his middle name is Sunday?
Udoka or LeBron?
Well, I mean, the guy who we don't talk about as often. He made Sunday Udoka.
He always shows up on Sundays. Yeah, it's true. He like it makes sense because you know family values are very important to him. So the church, day of God would make a lot of sense for him.
Yep.
So yeah, that's the Rockets and LeBron's drama. That doesn't like the funny thing is like you think Rockets and LeBron drama. Obviously, it's another Dylan Brooks story.
Big Dylan Brooks, yeah. Big Dylan Brooks.
There were like four incidents that occurred that game, and none of them featured Dylan Brooks. And you're like, was he injured? I don't understand. I had to check the box score to make sure he played because I didn't see any drama involving Dylan Brooks and LeBron James.
By the way, in that game, I'm assuming Anthony Davis is not 100%. I don't think he can be because Alperen Sengun just blowtorched him. He had 21 and 13 with 5 assists, 2 blocks, and 2 steals.
You know, and like Alperen Sengun is a hard type of player for Anthony Davis to block because of the ability to mix in the mid range as well as the like pulling him away from the basket, which is what you saw from
Kitchen,
right? So
this was kind of a back and forth because now I'm looking at Davis' stats and he had 27 and 14 with 5 blocks and he shot a lot better than Sengun did. Sengun went 8 for 25. That's not great. Yeah. But I mean, the numbers are good. Like those numbers LA are pretty good.
I think LA won by 10 points too. So
yeah, they won by 10.
It wasn't even like it was a close game, but you know, Anthony Davis, like, I mean, that's the issue with Sengun is like, yeah, he's going to give it to your starting center, but if your starting center has any form of offensive game, then
he's gonna get it right back.
They're gonna get they're gonna have their season high, you know. So, has Nurkic matched up with Sengun at all? How has that gone?
I can check real quick because I feel like they have played the Rockets.
Yeah, they probably have. What a wonderful game that was! It's very memorable. It sticks out in my memory.
No, they have not played Houston.
They haven't yet. The interesting
Sengun's been pretty good though. Sengun's been pretty solid.
It'll be interesting to see how Nurkic plays because Nurkic's offensive game has actually been pretty on point. Now, I said
Sengun. Nurkic has been pretty off. He's been great. He's been good.
Yeah, he's just been so awful on the defensive end. They can't even play him in fourth quarters. But this is what it is. Turns out the last year's center combination for the Portland Trailblazers may not be what you want to build the foundation of your defense around.
I feel like the Suns are a lot better with him than they were with Aiden. I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think so, but it's, I guess we'll have to see. We'll see how far the Suns can make it.
It's mainly because at least he's going to put forth an effort. Aiden was, his ship had already sailed. He was out of there mentally. He didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, he signed with Indiana, you know, so. Yeah. there's that. There's no win November. Adidas trashing Durant. We have the Dallas Mavericks being sold. Trade season's opened up. What do you want to talk about next?
Let's talk about the trade season because I feel like it's too early for teams to be trading guys unless they're just automatically you already know they're going to be selling and tanking and they're out of it, like Chicago, yeah. But. I can't think of anyone else that'd be just like you've got the Raptors listed, I guess.
Well, I mean, so obviously trade season is technically opened up on Friday because that's when I think it's like 60% of the league who signed in the offseason becomes available for trade. So this is when you normally start to see teams start heating up in the trade conversation. I put the Raptors players there because you know obviously. That's who everybody's talking about constantly.
Everybody.
Like, I mean, yeah, that's what every trade season seems to be a circling around. What are the Raptors doing with OG? What are they doing with Trent? What are they doing with Pascal? And then they added, we can add Poeltl and Schroeder to that list if they decide they go into the full tank mode. So question then becomes, so the question is, like, you know, who are these names? Obviously, the Chicago names are interesting. Like, I put down DeRozan, Caruso, and LaVine. I don't think they'll ever get rid of Vucevic. The contract's too bad, and he's not very good. But, you know, DeRozan and LaVine have both requested trades. But apparently, coming out of Chicago, they're not sure if they want to trade Caruso, who is arguably their best trade asset. Because they don't know if what their trade packages will look like with DeRozan and LaVine, and they don't know if they're still going to be looking to compete after those trades or not. So basically, they're not fully bought into a full-fledged rebuild at this point. What are your thoughts?
I don't really have any on Toronto. I think that it's probably time for them to move off of Pascal, because if they're wanting to build around Scotty, you're going to go all the way in on the young guys movement. It's probably time to get him out of there because he's approaching 30.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be there in another year or two or three. He's close. OG's, I think Poeltl's already there. Schroeder is all, he's like 31, 32. OG, he's young-ish. He's young enough that I feel like
you 25. Could,
yeah, I mean, that's closer to what you're looking at with Scotty. He's like 23, yeah. Isn't he? 22?
I think he's 23. Let me just double check here real quick. But yeah, no, like, I mean, realistically, the only reason why the Raptors would be looking to trade is because they don't want to max everybody. Scotty's going to be coming up for a max extension this offseason, and he is 22. So Scotty's coming up for a max extension this offseason. It's 25% max. He's probably not going to get the hit the All-NBA threshold this season, but he might hit it in the next season. So if he does that, then he could go upwards to a 30% max. So it's pretty big money. You know, Pascal, he's a multi-time All-NBA player, so he has access to the 35% super max, which means that he'd be a lot of money to re-sign. And then OG Anunoby doesn't have a super max on the board, but there's a lot of teams are going to be lining up, I think, to provide him a max, especially in a season where your top free agents are not necessarily max worthy outside of Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And then you have to ask yourself, are those guys even those other two, are they even realistically going to be free agents when it comes down to it? So that's that would be like, so OG is probably a max player on the open market, so the Raptors will have to max him. So that said, they basically have to make a decision between OG and Pascal, from what I can see, if they want to have a long-term success. So I think OG gets you more on the trade market. I think I think OG is the most valuable player on the Raptors right now.
Not in Scotty Barnes.
Outside of Scotty Barnes. But like, if you look at the on-off numbers for OG, he's by far the best player, like the most impactful player on the Raptors in the sense that he's the only person who can play a secondary or tertiary role in the offense that provides such a big impact on the defensive side. He's also one of the few plus shooters they have on the team. So like, if they're able to turn Pascal into like a plus shooter in a couple picks or something like that, there's a possibility the Raptors would take a step backwards in the short term. But if they end up maxing OG, they could have a foundation of a team that could be competing relatively quickly. But that's not a decision that I have to make. That's a decision that Masai has to make. And Masai spoke about it on Friday because it was the Giants of Africa celebration game. So he had his standard speaking arrangement during that period of time. And when asked about it, he said he's still in the evaluation period at this point in time. And he's not considering what's going on next, because he wants to see how everything fits with the new coach, Darko Rajakovic.
It's a shame that nobody wants to trade with him.
I mean, does no one want to trade with him, or does he just not want to trade?
Okay. I feel like everyone has the opinion, and I guess rightfully so, that he fleeces the opposing team every single time he's involved in a trade.
Well, I mean, when you listen to when they almost landed Dame Lillard, if you listen to what the package was, the package included Grady Dick and Gary Trent Jr. and a couple picks. Like, they weren't putting in the big names into that trade. And I think that's really realistically what Masai is consistently looking to do, right? He's looking to buy on the cheap side and really to maximize his team. He's not looking to give up big assets, you know what I mean?
He still thinks he's in win now mode.
Yeah, he's always one piece away. He's always one Damian Lillard away from making this team into a championship team. I mean, while the Raptors are in 11th place currently in the East, it's not like they are out of reach in the East either, right? Like, they're only 5 games out of second place at this point in time, with a quarter of the season left. They're basically one winning streak away from being in the top 4 in the East, and they have pretty big wins already this season. They beat the best team in the league in the Minnesota Timberwolves on the opening night. They've gotten wins over the Milwaukee Bucks. They've gotten wins over the Indiana Pacers on the back end of a back-to-back.
They ended the Suns winning streak.
Yeah, they beat the Suns. They beat the Suns on the road as well, where the Suns have been the best road team in the league. They beat the Dallas Mavericks when the Dallas Mavericks only had one previous loss prior to that. This is a team that can beat the best teams in the league, and then they can also get their ass kicked by the worst teams in the league. So it's really just a double-edged sword with this team. So I can understand why
the Buffalo Bills of the NBA.
I can understand why Masai can see this team and think that he's a piece away. I can understand why people on the outside can see this team and think that they're a mediocre team. So I can see it both sides. That said, if you were right now a team that's near the top, let's say you're the Phoenix Suns and the Phoenix Suns general manager, what's the player that you see that could possibly be available out there that you'd want to add today to the roster?
That I would personally want to add?
Yeah, but a realistic one, right? Like, so it's obviously obviously you guys are not going
to
be in the past.
They ain't got a lot of cap space to make much happen, to be honest with you.
Well, they don't have cap space, so it'd have to be salary for salary match.
Yeah, I don't know how they'd make something happen. I mean, yeah. I would guess probably OG or Pascal. I think DeRozan is interesting, but I feel like they've got enough guys to do what DeRozan does. They don't need DeRozan.
DeRozan wants to go to Miami, so you know he's going.
He's probably not going to go to Miami.
Well,
Miami has shown that they're not willing to play ball when it comes to these trades.
Well, they like their mid-range mavens in Miami, so I think DeRozan's a perfect fit for Heat culture.
What are they going to give up to get him?
Probably, like, I don't know, Duncan.
They're going to give up, like, a couple of popsicle sticks and...
I mean, realistically, he's only got $28,000, I think, or $28 million as his salary. So he's pretty... They have a few contracts they could probably use to match. So
why would they go to DeRozan instead? Well, I guess Dame wasn't really there because they weren't going to move Dame. That's the story there. But it's just... They don't play ball when it comes to these trades. They don't really put their best foot forward. They could have had Harden, so the rumors always said, but they didn't want to trade whatever the dude's name is. Yeah, that guy. He's not a hero, so he's forgettable.
So the reason why you go with DeRozan's over, say, like someone like Bradley Beal. So, like, Bradley Beal this offseason...
He's always hurt.
Allegedly, they were offered Bradley Beal, and they chose not to go into it because they didn't want to go into the tax, and the fact that Bradley Beal has, I think, what, 4 years left on his Supermax contract, you know, that's a big contract to work with. Alternatively, if you could go for a cheap contract, like say that they throw a pick in with a Duncan Robinson, that basically gets you to the salary. You probably can throw in another player to match. But basically, you're adding a $28 million expiring contract. So you get off of the rest of the Duncan Robinson contract. So there's value in that portion. And then on top of that, you add a valuable player who they could probably re-sign for a much cheaper contract next season. So, I mean, there is
an opportunity. And they reunite them with Lowry.
And then they reunite them with Lowry. And they're like, and the fact is, like, you know, DeRozan, like, if he has like a meltdown in the playoffs, he's not your primary offensive threat anyways in the playoffs, so it's not necessarily the worst thing. And he can kind of be an extra punch for their offense in general. So I can see it making sense for them, and I can see why they would value a DeRozan trade over a Bradley Beal trade. I think at the end of the day, it's well known that they were interested in Dame Lillard. They just didn't have the best package for Dame Lillard, so they didn't get him, right? So, like, I mean, that, like, it's not, it had very little to do with whether there was a will for it or not. It's quite clear that the Miami Heat tried to play as if they had leverage in the Lillard situation. The Portland Trailblazers didn't like how they were treated, and they cut off that conversation at the pass. But I think if you're the Chicago Bulls, you look at DeMar DeRozan and you probably hope he turns into a lot, but reality is he's probably going to just turn into, at best, a youngish player, and at best maybe a pick or two. So I think if you're Chicago and you can get someone like a Duncan Robinson and like a couple seconds or maybe even a first, you probably take that trade because that's about as valuable as it's going to get for you. Because Duncan Robinson could probably get flipped for another asset down the line, especially in a year or two.
So if you dump DeRozan, you're dumping LaVine too. You're all in on...
LaVine wants out and DeRozan wants out. That's clear. The question is, do they dump Caruso? Because they've been apparently, per Zach Lowe, very wishy-washy over whether they want to move on for Caruso or not. They said that it depends on what they get back for the LaVine and DeRozan trades, whether they will go into a full rebuild or not.
Right after they re-sign Vucevic. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, Toronto has a very similar situation. They have a similar contract to the Vucevic contract with Poeltl. That said, I think Poeltl has more trade value than Vucevic because Poeltl is much more functional defensively. He's younger, and he's just an overall better player than Vucevic is at this period of time in their careers. So I don't think it's that overwhelming to pay $20 million for a top 10 starting caliber center in this league. So I don't think that would be a terrible contract to move off of. But even still, it's a very similar build between the two franchises for sure. However, the Raptors have two more wins. So fuck Chicago.
Okay. I mean, they're winning the race to the bottom.
Yeah, but I mean, no one wants this first round pick this season.
Why?
It's a bad draft class. Have you not known that?
If it's a bad draft class, it helps you get the first round pick next year, too.
That's true. But, like, the next two drafts are pretty shallow in talent. The 2026 draft is the one that will be pretty big, although the Cooper Flagg will be available in 2025. So next draft has a couple top-end talent players that people are really excited about, but overall 2026 is where it's all at, apparently.
Yeah. The only guy that people need to worry about drafting is Bronny James.
He comes with more problems.
he comes with a king. He comes with a kingdom.
Yeah, it's a prince. It's good news though that he's been cleared for play after the issues that he had in September with regards to the heart condition and the collapse. Congrats, Bronny Jr. Go ahead.
I feel like if you're a borderline contender, even if he's not cleared to play, even if he's not in good shape, you draft him anyway just so you get LeBron.
The question is, if you draft him and then you send him down to the G League to get some reps, does LeBron go to the G League team or does he go to the NBA team?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
The Raptors draft Bronny James and they send him to the Raptors 905. Are we going to see LeBron James donning a 905 jersey? That's what I need to know.
You will. Yeah. 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 And as soon as he gets called up to sit on the end of the bench, you're going to see LeBron out there too.
So what do you want to talk next? You want to talk Giddy? Are you you interested in Adidas trash-talking Durant?
Why would I trash-talk Durant?
I don't know. So like somebody Anthony Edwards, he got a new sneaker through Adidas. It's a signature sneaker. He's talking about how great it is and how it makes him play better. And some sneakerhead magazine, like, quote tweeted and asked, like, do you think Durant would ever wear these? And Durant's like, hell no. And then Adidas responded saying that you're dusty and about to retire anyways.
I saw that, yeah. And then someone said it should have been from the burner.
Like, what's going on here? Like, seriously. Adidas getting a little bit feisty on the internet. They think they're Wendy's or something.
So I feel like it's silly to take what Durant said seriously. Why? Because Durant is not an Adidas athlete, right?
He's a Nike athlete, right?
Why would he wear the Adidas shoe?
And I never really got the connection between like Edwards and Durant in this situation. Do they have like a history of sharing shoes or something? Like, I'm just a
Nike guy.
I'm not big into the sneaker world, so I couldn't really tell what the significance of Durant being even tagged in that was.
So I'm fairly sure that these guys who have those big ass shoe contracts have an exclusivity deal where they only are seen wearing those shoes.
Yeah, for sure.
So no, he wouldn't be seen with an Adidas shoe because he can't. Like, why would he?
No, for sure.
Also, Adidas is not as good a brand as Nike. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it here. Sorry, Anthony. Sorry, Ant-Man. You know, Nike is the king for a reason.
I mean, laces are laces. It's not that big a deal.
Tell that to Zion Williamson at Duke.
Yeah, Nike, right? Nike blew up his knee. Nike ended his career.
Moving on. I forgot it was Nike. I thought he was wearing like some jobber shoe.
Wearing Nike, and that's why everyone's like, "Oh, well, this is gonna not gonna be able to sign him." And then they did. So
if he had been wearing Adidas, it would have happened sooner.
But like 3 games into the college season.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You couldn't contain his full power. It's like Dragon Ball Z when the power level spikes and the scouter explodes. You can't contain his full power.
Yeah, that's what he is. He's Goju or whatever the guy from Dragon Ball Z is named.
Goku.
Goku, there you go.
Goku, yeah. He is a Super Saiyan. Zion's actually been relatively healthy this year, too. It's been fun to see.
And the Pelicans are turning around now that they're starting to get a little healthier. Obviously, they have that really good rookie in Jordan Hawkins, but now that they got Trey Murphy back, him and Jordan Hawkins playing alongside McCollum and company, and the steps that Dyson Daniels has made, that team is a team to watch. We're going to be talking about the in-season tournament a little bit later.
Is he still out with that collapsed lung?
No, McCollum? He's back. He just got back last week. Yeah, so
there you go. All right, yeah. Everything's coming up Millhouse.
Yeah, I think that they're at 11 wins. The Timberwolves are in first place with 15. They're not out of reach at this point in time. I think that the position that I had with the Pelicans, I'm pretty happy with where I was. Like I said last week, I wasn't ready to admit I was wrong on them. I'm pretty excited for this for the rest of the season and see what the Pelicans can do.
All right, I'm going to address the elephant in the room now. Josh Giddey, I'm not the controversial topics guy, okay? I'm Mr. Jokey Joke, haha, man. If you want to talk about Giddey, you're going to need a Duke or a Baldy. It can't be me, because I just want to make jokes. So, like, I got nothing good to say about him, but at the same time, I just don't want to talk about it. Because fuck him.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I don't like I don't know what enough. There's been rumors abound all over the place with regards to what's happened. It does appear that Josh Giddey has, for all intents and purposes, did have a relationship with a sexual relationship with a person who turned out to be underage. Yeah. Whether that was an ongoing relationship or a one night stand, whether he met her at a nightclub,
Defending it, they're saying, oh, well, the legal age in Oklahoma is 16. Mm-hmm. This is why I think it's stupid to have quote-unquote legal ages that are not just 18 across the board in this country.
Yeah.
Because it blurs the line. It needs to be definitive. If you're under 18, it's off limits. Well, period.
And so it seems like, the age of consent is definitely something that could play into this, but it seems like it took place in California, which the age of consent in California is 18. So if that was the case,
get fucked, Getty.
Yeah, that said, it seemed to have happened when he was 19 years old, and it also seemed to have happened at an adult's nightclub, which I guess blurs the lines of whether or not she was expected to ask her to obtain her age prior to the session, or however you want to refer to it.
Fake ID'd her way in, and it was believable, and he had no way of knowing.
The family and the girl in question apparently are not cooperating with police. So the question of whether or not there will be any charges placed or what the outcome of the investigation is very much in question at this period of time. That said, all of that seems to be rumors. So it's really hard to substantiate any of what's being said. Right. I don't feel like I'm confident enough to be knowledgeable enough about these types of things. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I feel like obviously if he knowingly slept with an underage girl, that is a disgusting act, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if he was 19. It doesn't matter if he's 21, right? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, if that's what happened, it's a disgusting act, and he should be punished for it. That said, I don't know if that he knowingly did anything wrong at this point. So it's hard for me to pass judgment on it.
Much like Thanos, I'm collecting all the Infinity Stones in our fantasy league, though. So any player who fucks up, you're coming home to my team because I'm just stockpiling all the pieces of trash.
I mean, Luka Doncic just had a baby. That said, Zion also is about to have a baby, and we all know what's happening. It happened in the summer of Zion. So
I can't blame Zion for any of that.
I mean, geez, if there is not a, like, I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to get in trouble, but you know, there is a saying about what you do with when a person doesn't seem mentally stable, and
fear like a woman scorned. And she's out here and she tattooed his name on her. I'm just saying,
face.
Yeah. I'm not crazy. I'm just a little unwell.
So there's that. Did you want to talk about the no-win November of the Detroit Pistons?
Detroit basketball. Oh man, I just miss a few years ago when they were promising. And they were a scrappy underdog team that would fight every night, and they snuck wins against like the Bulls and the Lakers. I'm pretty sure they beat the Raptors.
They had a brawl with the Magic.
Yeah, the fucking.
Do not move. If you move, you will go to prison.
The scream at the Little Caesars Arena. Yeah. But those days are gone. It's this team is just the dregs of the league.
Yeah, and I think we can all agree that it's Monty Williams' fault.
No. No.
You never go double Monty.
No, you don't go full Monty. You don't go full Monty. But it's not Monty's fault. This is a young team that the pieces just don't fucking fit.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, their top prospects, it seems like Caden Ivey have a bit of a connection. It seems like Caden Duren have a bit of connection. But the question is what are you doing with Thompson? Thompson's inability to score the basketball or shoot is a real deterrent, I think, on that team. And
amen.
He's like the fourth best ball handler on the roster. So how, like, he's not going to be able to play with the ball in his hands. So what are you doing with him is basically the question.
Much like my fantasy team is Thanos collecting the Infinity Stones of problematic players, this team is collecting all the draft busts. They've got Bagley Jr. They've got Wiseman. They've got Kevin Knox.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in fairness to Bagley Jr., he's been showing that he's possibly a legit backup big in this league. Like he's been playing pretty well.
Are you sure that's not Evan Turner syndrome? Someone's got to do it.
I mean, if that was the case, then like, I would expect that to be Cade's situation. But I feel like Cade's actually getting like the exact opposite treatment out of it. Like Cade's becoming significantly worse based off.
Cade does not strike me as a Monty Williams guy.
Why do you say that?
Monty has this thing where he loves his vets, and he's always gonna be hard for the vets. So it's like he's gonna be riding with Alec. And Cade is gonna like, this is what the issue is with Aiden. Like he hated Aiden because he was young and just.
I disagree because I think if he was like that, then we would be seeing a lot less Killian Hayes and a lot more Alec Burks, and we're just not seeing that. Like they've been the Ivy stuff. Was a bit concerning if I was a Detroit Pistons fan, like him being benched for like 2 weeks and figuring out what they're going to do with Jaden Ivey. Like, I mean, I think if you're, you know, I think if you're 15 or 20 teams in the league right now, then you saw that Jaden Ivey situation, you're like, hey, can we kind of maybe get somebody on discount? Because I think at this point in time, everyone knows that Jaden Ivey is a legit basketball player right now, and he's going to be better as he gets older as well, right? So the fact that Monte was playing games with him was a bit concerning. I mean, you look at that roster, there's not much beyond Jaden Ivey on that roster. So what are you doing, right? Like, who are you trying to fool around with at this point in time?
Props to you for not calling him Monty Morris this week.
I know. I stopped it. I'm like Monty Williams, Monty Williams, Monty Williams. And then after that, I just started calling him Monte.
Monta. So Monta Ellis have it all.
Yeah, that's your no-win Detroit Pistons. But do you think that they're going to get to 10 wins this season?
How many?
10.
I think they'll get 10. How do you not get 10 in the NBA?
I mean,
you got to play Charlotte 3 times at least, right?
Well, they've lost to them and the Wizards.
Shit!
But they're 20 games into the season, so we'll call it a quarter of the way through the season. They have 2 wins. So if they maintain that trend, it's 8 wins.
The worst team in history was that Bobcats team that had 6, right?
No, didn't the Philadelphia 76ers have 7? Wasn't that the lowest? Let's see.
Bobcats might have had 8. I know it's in that ballpark.
Lewis.
He's like a dog with the bone on this one.
All right, so the fewest wins ever were the 6-42 Providence Steamrollers in 1947-1948 season.
Get the fuck out of here. No one gives a fuck.
I'm just reading to you, man. The 2011-2012 Charlotte Bobcats were 7-58, 9. And then the 1998-1999 Vancouver Grizzlies were 8-42.
The Bobcats. I called it the Bobcats. No one cares about the Steamrollers.
Well, I care about them. Right?
No, you don't. That's not even NBA. That's before the merger. Get out of here.
The Steamrollers. The Steamrollers have a special place in my heart. Providence, it's underrepresented in the basketball world. We don't honor them nearly as much as we should. Hail Rhode Island forever, never die.
There's a reason it's the smallest state. It's the least relevant.
Is that true?
It's true to me. Damn it.
Is it true that the size of the state is proportional to the relevance?
Size matters.
So Alaska is the most relevant state in the United States?
Hey, man, we get a lot of oil there.
That doesn't answer the question.
Cash is king, baby.
Alaska is the most relevant to the United States. Got it.
Get a lot of oil in Texas, too.
The seat of power is held in Alaska. Got it. Juneau, Alaska.
They have a town in Alaska named Dead Horse.
They have a lot of weird name towns in Alaska. Let's Google that real quick.
Top 5 weird name cities in Alaska. Names
in Alaska. All right, so we got Hoonah in the inner harbor of Hoonah. There's Tanana, Dead Horse, Ninana, Unakalaklik, Iditarod, and Unalaska.
Okay, so there's Nuna, there's Una, and in the middle of all of this, there's Dead Horse.
And there's also Unalaska.
Unalaska. I wish this bit was unalived.
In my area that I grew up in, Ontario, we had some pretty strange names. So there was this town. It was called Dunedin.
Are you done eating yet?
Yeah, exactly. Then there was you know, the capital of Ontario of Canada is Ottawa, and I lived by a town that was called Not Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Yeah. And then there was Wasaga Beach. That's where I was born, Wasaga Beach. And then there's Not a Wasaga Beach.
What the fuck is wrong with people in cold climate? It's like they're sitting here, oh, we got to find a name for this place. It's fucking cold. I want to go inside. What's that place over there called? Toronto? Let's call it Not Toronto. All right, done. Let's get the fuck out of here. Put the flag in the ground and go.
So, like, in English.
Not Alaska. On Alaska.
In English, Milton means mountain, right? So I live in Hamilton.
Is that true?
Yeah. I live in Hamilton, which in translates to Ha Mountain.
Ha Mountain. Ha.
But anyways, yeah, there's that. And then like we have, you know, I believe in Pennsylvania in the northern United States, Wawa is a gas station. In Canada, it's the home of the largest prison. Every time I hear that getting referenced, Wawa, I'm like, oh God, what happened? You went to Wawa? Really?
Oh, how long were you there for? Yeah. I'll see you in 5 to 7.
What'd you do?
Well, you had a good run, buddy.
Ran out of milk, so. Anyways, so. So that's that. How about selling some franchises? You excited about the Dallas Mavericks now being owned by a gambling family?
I mean, what's really different here?
I don't know. I think that it's has the potential of being a lot messier than it's being made out to be, because for those who didn't know, Mark Cuban sold his controlling stake of the Dallas Mavericks for $3.5 billion valuation. So he didn't get $3.5 billion. He sold his percentage of percentage for $3.5 billion.
He's still maintaining control of, like.
So this is where it gets weird, is that he has maintained control of basketball operations, and he also still owns a portion of the team, just not the controlling stake. Now, this is where it can get messy, because technically, like, you know, he doesn't have like governorship. He sold the controlling stake. So like when it comes to the board of governors, they can he's not really entitled to be at those meetings and such. And then on top of that, he can get fired. And that can change relatively quick. His role could change relatively quickly to being non-existent. So that part's weird.
He's apparently trying to build a casino district in a state where gambling is illegal.
Yeah. So the Adelson family is a famous gambling family from Nevada. The former patriarch, who's now dead, was a real world-class human being who destroyed news media in Las Vegas and, you know, just did some very questionably moral things on a regular basis. And he accumulated a crap ton of wealth, and that's led him to his heirs now to purchase this team. And the Adelsons, obviously, having links to gambling, and the fact that Mark Cuban has been lobbying the Texas government to legalize gambling so he can create a gambling district around a new arena that he wants to fund for the Dallas Mavericks. You know, there's an understanding. There seems to be an understanding that might be where this business relationship has kind of like sprouted off from. That said, though, I mean, that's a lot of what ifs and a lot of maybes. And another thing that's a little bit concerning, if I'm an NBA owner, is they always want to see franchise pricing rates going up, and a $3.5 billion valuation has Dallas Mavericks valued at roughly exactly where the Milwaukee Bucks were valued, and also about $1.2 billion less than what the Suns sold for just last season. So,
but he remained on. He kept a lot of. That's probably part of why it wasn't higher.
Maybe. But realistically, we're talking about the asset, not the role or the positionality of the role, right? So the asset itself is valued less than the Suns, which is odd because the market is much larger than the Suns. And the team theoretically should be significantly more profitable than the Suns. So that portion of it seems a bit questionable.
Yeah. I think that... I think there are reasons for it. If he's staying on, he probably had a backroom deal of some kind. Well, hey, I stay on, I'll cut you a deal. Because he's maintaining some part of ownership as well. He didn't sell all of it.
Well, the thing is the valuation was $3.5 billion. The money he got wasn't $3.5 billion. If he sold 60% of, the ownership or something like that at $3.5 billion, then all he would have been getting out of that $3.5 would have been $2.1 billion in that case, right? He didn't receive 3.5, and that's part of the issue with the reporting that you see around this. Where it's he bought in for $250,000, and then he sold for $3.5 billion. He didn't sell for $3.5 billion. The asset is valued at $3.5 billion. He sold a percentage at that valuation.
So who can we blame for the franchise being worth less than the Suns? How much of it do we think is Kyrie's fault?
Well, there's obviously that aspect of it, which I don't think impacted it tremendously. I don't think
it matters at all.
I think there's a couple things. Obviously, the arena situation in Dallas is a lot less fluid than it is for the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns own their arena. They're not looking to build or expand or anything like that. Whereas, in Dallas, they're trying to build a new arena, right? So there's that aspect of it. But I think this also speaks to the new TV contract situation and whether or not the market believes that the NBA is capable of getting the types of increases that it's been talking about. And a lot of the values of these franchises are based off of that hypothetical. So I think the market in this case may be suggesting that they don't believe the NBA. Now, that said, that doesn't mean the NBA isn't going to be able to deliver on these new contracts that they said. It's just that people don't believe they will.
I'm more concerned with what they're going to call that gambling district he builds. Can we vote? I would like to name it Un-Dallas.
Well, No. You can't do that. Dallas is a huge rivalry with Houston, right? So maybe it's Un-Houston.
Un-Houston.
Yeah.
Or that'll show them.
Penultimate Houston. I don't know. Something along those lines. We can get there. We'll just ask Alaska.
Not Dallas.
We just have to ask Alaska.
Alaska. Just pick up the phone.
We're going to have the dead horse gambling district, Dallas. You want to know? Okay, so there's that. Now, you want to know where it has really weird town names? Let's see here. Have you ever heard of the province in Canada called Newfoundland?
Yes. People love to call it Newfoundland, even though it is Newfoundland.
It is basically somebody came there and we found a Newfoundland, we just called it that moving forward. So they do have a few funny names. So there's Heart's Content. You can also go to Devil's Head. There's a place there called Happy Adventure.
Okay.
Cupid's, mm-hmm. Conception mm-hmm. Bay.
Okay, so most of these sound like strip clubs that James Harden would frequent.
You think so? How about this one? Blow Me Down.
Okay.
And then the most popular, Dildo, Newfoundland.
Every single one of these sound like strip clubs James Harden would go to.
It's the land of horny folk.
the land of milk and honey. That's how you say it and make it sound innocent.
The horny little Newfoundlanders.
Do you remember when?
Fultz is going to be back here at the Fultz Court Press pod. We love that guy. So we're looking forward to seeing him play. Hopefully the full season. Hopefully nothing comes up outside of his stub toe. You know what I mean?
Buddy, come on, man. You just... The Fultz season. The Fultz right season. There. It was right there. Jesus Christ.
I just did Fultz Court Press. Like, I'm not
going to do Fultz. I mean, if you already were going to do Fultz puns, man. Come on.
Let's go all in.
Like, God damn it. I can't edit it back in, just so you know. Like, I can't make it sound like
this. This is funnier. This is funnier.
Get a clean take. Just start it. Yeah.
You're listening to the Fultz Court Press Podcast. All right, we're back and better than ever. Thank you so much for tuning back into the Fultz Court Press Podcast, a podcast made by Fools for Fools. We're going to be talking about disappointing starts. The LA Clippers, are they going to turn around? Sandy?
No.
All right. The Detroit Pistons, are they going to turn around? Sandy?
Fuck no.
No, but Bogdan Bogdanovic has come back. Or is it Boyan?
Whichever one it is, just let him dribble the ball off his foot a few times.
Bogey. It is Boyan. Boyan Bogdanovic. Sorry to the Bogdan family. I didn't mean to.
You're Bogdan for.
All right, so Boyan Bogdanovic is back. You don't think it's going to help? Monty Morris had a bit of a setback health.
Well, you were doing so good.
Didn't I?
You said Monty Morris.
Yeah, he's had a setback. He's still injured. Did I not get that right? Isn't?
Wait.
The actual player, not the coach. The coach is the coach is still coaching. The player is not playing right now because he's injured.
I thought you meant Monty Williams had a setback with the team because they've been shit.
No, his ankle is fine.
Okay. There you go. You did it right. I'm surprised.
I did it. Everybody fucking did it. All right, the Grizzlies, are they gonna make a comeback?
I mean, you want to hope that they're going to be better when Ja comes back, but they're not going to make a playoff push.
You don't think so? Like, I mean, they're only three games out of the play-in.
Come on.
What?
How many more games is he suspended for?
He's only out for another seven more games at this point.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, you know what? He's coming back to the problematic posse. I'm looking forward to having him on my fantasy team.
Yeah, like, I'm kind of hoping for them to make a desperate move and trade for Jakob Poeltl because they need somebody to catch some rebounds for them. They're like, you know what, Bismack Biyombo is just not cutting it anymore for us.
I don't understand how he's a starter in this time of I can't even fathom it.
Basically, how you get to Bismack Biyombo being the starter is that you have your top two centers be out with season-ending knee injuries from last season.
That's crazy.
And basically, your all defensive power forward can't catch a rebound to save his goddamn life. So
that's fucking weird, man. He's just—I don't understand it. He's tall. He's like 6'11". Catch the board, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he's got hops. The thing he spends so much time, obviously, getting himself in position to block shots that it takes him out of position for rebounding.
Do you know who used to really be like disparaged greatly for their lack of rebounds? Brook Lopez back in his Brooklyn days.
Yeah, Andrea Bargnani.
Yeah, this man Brook would average like three rebounds, and he's 7 foot, and it's just, and people were always like, why don't you get the fucking boards, Brook?
Well, he's out shooting threes, blocking shots.
That's right.
Yeah, kicking ass, taking names, all that chewing gum. Utah Jazz, are they gonna turn around?
No.
Sorry. It was just funny. The Atlanta Hawks, obviously, Jalen Johnson's out for 4 to 6 weeks with an injury, so that's a big hit to the Hawks' hopes. What are you thinking? Atlanta Hawks, are they going to turn it around?
I think there's a chance to turn it around. Right?
Yeah.
I think
Trae Young's done.
You think Trae Young's done?
I think he's done it as a Hawk, at the very least. I don't see how they continue to build around him at this point in time.
So where's he going to go?
I whomever they pay to take his contract.
Okay. What team could you see acquiring him and having success?
I don't think that there's a team that would acquire him and have success. I think there's a team, like, I mean, the Chicago Bulls, for instance, like, I think there's a team that can convince themselves they'll have success. Charlotte Hornets could probably be like, hey, we can get somebody.
Hornets don't really, they have LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, but LaMelo Ball's always injured, right? So
what, are you going to send LaMelo down there to team with DeJounte Murray?
No. They convince themselves they're doing something like DeJounte, like bringing DeJounte Murray, and they have two ball handlers who can kind of handle the offense. Then they also kind of have insurance against LaMelo Ball. I'm not saying that they're going to win. I'm saying that these are what bad franchises who make bad decisions will convince themselves of. That would be the only hope I think that we have of getting anything positive out of a trade for Trae Young, because I think that it's the writing's on the wall. Trae Young he's not an efficient shooter anymore. Like, he's not giving you anything on the defensive end, and then on the offensive end, he's just been okay. Like, what's his effective field goal percentage this season? It's 48.6. His 3-point shooting percentage, or his 3-point field goal percentage, is at 35%. Like,
not great. Not,
like, he's billed as a Steph Curry-esque character that he just isn't.
Character.
Like, he's just not as good at shooting as Steph Curry is. And I mean, that's
never was.
I'm not trying to say that, like, man, he can't play in the NBA. He's not as good a shooter as the greatest shooter that's ever existed. It's just that we keep on, like, putting him in the same breath as that player, and he's just not that player.
What if Trae Young got put in a situation where he could be a team's sixth man off the bench offensive threat?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great, but you have to also justify paying that sixth man $60 million.
Well, this is incumbent upon him not receiving another contract like that ever.
Well, he's already in it. That's the problem. Like, yeah. that's the reason why, like, when you're trying to trade someone like Trae Young, like, yeah, he'd be great in a six-man role, firing off the bench. Like, that's awesome. Like, it'd be a Lou Williams. But the problem is that he's had 3 more, 4 more years left of a Supermax contract, right? Like, so you need him to be an all-star at the very least, and you're not getting that off of the bench. So, like, basically what you're going to be looking at is teams that are going to be – like, if they end up trading for, like, if a team ends up trading for him, they're not going to be trading him to be off the bench. They're going to be trading him to be
their guy. Yeah.
Like, either the option number one or option number two, which is why I think, like, when you look at somebody, like, you know, some people have mentioned the Orlando Magic. No, please get him the fuck away from the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I don't want any part of
that. That's a terrible decision for the Magic.
As this podcast's most favorite Magic guy, I no thank you.
Yeah, like, I mean, you don't want him with the Knicks because you'd prefer Jalen Brunson at this point in time over him, right? At least I would. Like, he's not going to do anything with Cavs. Maybe Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn could do something with him, but, like, I'm like,
they've already got a guy who doesn't defend in Cam Thomas.
Well, I was just going to say, like, why wouldn't I want to just pay Cam Thomas, you know, $20 million to do what I get out of Trae Young? It's not like you're going to get that much worse on defense.
Right.
And let's see. Let me take a look at what Cam Thomas has done so far this season. Cam Thomas is averaging 1 point less a game than Trae Young right now. His effective field goal percentage is almost 10% higher.
Mm-hmm.
His 3-point shooting is a little bit lower, but his overall 2-point percentage is significantly higher.
Right.
While Trae Young's win shares is at a 2, Cam Thomas is a 0.7, so that Cam Thomas is already 2.5 Kevin Knox careers worth of win shares this season.
That's funny as fuck, man. I'll never get sick of that joke. Trae needs to go to a situation where a defense can hide him.
Yeah, and which is why I think the Brooklyn Nets would be the place, right? Like, if you go, like, if they were serious about bringing in, like, I mean, what Cam Thomas doesn't do that Trae Young does do is pass,
right?
But, you know, Cam Thomas could still be that guy they're bringing in off the bench to a run and gun. Mm-hmm. Realistically, like, you'd be looking at them probably having to move on. Let's see here. Let me pull up the cap sheet for the Nets. Here.
They'd have to move either Mikhail or Cam or...
Yeah, you're not doing that. Let's see here. If that's the starting point, then you're just not, you're hanging up the phone. You're not making that trade.
I just
I don't know how many big money guys they have, but I don't think they have very many of them. I think McHale's probably their highest paid guy.
I think you probably have to because you have an expiring contract in Ben Simmons that's pretty high. Yeah, 37 points or 37 million. Let me see here. Let's
that's an interesting Hawks. One.
So
he's not giving you anything.
Yeah, Trae Young is a $40 million player. So you move Ben Simmons and maybe a pick or two.
Acquire Trae.
And you basically get Trae Young, right? And what the Hawks get is they get a couple future assets and a couple picks, and then they also get off of the remaining 4 years of that contract with Trae Young.
Yep.
And then obviously there's a significant improvement, I think, over not having Ben Simmons play for you over what you're getting out of Trae Young. So I think the Brooklyn Nets build something nice out of that. I mean, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I don't work in an NBA front office and I'm not an NBA insider. I'm just like, if you're telling me I had to trade Trae Young today, I think I'd probably be looking at the Brooklyn Nets.
By the by, while we're talking about him, I'm just curious here. Considering old Mr. Ben Simmons here.
Yes.
Mr. August.
I mean, he had a good start. Unfortunately, the knee issue crept up, and now it seems like his back screwed him again. So I think he's done.
August.
I think he's done.
He's an all-August all-star.
Like, I think at this point in time, this is basically it. He's got one more season on his contract at $40 million.
Just go home and be a family man, Ben. And by home, I mean Australia. Just go home.
I mean, listen, you made enough money.
He's made enough money to live like a king.
Yeah, by the end of next season, he'll have made $155 million. $155.5 million. So, I mean, you've done it, man. You turned it into $155 million. So
I just
take it and run with it.
People were saying he looks like he's in the best shape of his career. Ben Simmons is back. Look at him. He's making the jumper. No. It's just August. This is what he does. He's a merchant. It's August.
So yeah, he's doing. You know, he did pretty well. The beginning of the season, he didn't look like he was going to make an all-star team, but he looked like he was pretty close to where he could kind of be an impactful NBA player, but I think it's done. I think it's.
I just feel vindicated. That's all. I just wanted to feel vindicated for a moment. All
right. Well, that's that. So yeah, but if you're saying Kyle, Lufa, put a gun to your head, you have to trade Trae Young and get the best package for him. I'm thinking, you know, the New Jersey Nets, or the Brooklyn Nets would be where I would go.
Yeah. And I mean, it's primarily because after Ben goes, you have that cap space.
Exactly, right?
The whole world's your fucking oyster, man.
Well, I thought he was an expiring contract this year. He's actually expiring contract next year. So, I mean, there's a possibility you trade him next season for a positive asset, right? Like,
or you just cut fucking bait. Just buy out bait. And be done with him. Bye, Ben.
Exactly. Like if you have like a $40 million trade exception, though, like that's not a terrible thing to have in your back pocket as an asset accumulator. And then on top of that, you know, if you don't want to do it, you can just cut bait and reset, do a full reset around Jalen Johnson, and you look to see what you can get for DeJounte Murray when he becomes available for able to trade, which I believe will be in January.
DeJounte Murray, still pretty young.
Is he?
I feel like he's still pretty damn young.
Let me take a look.
27.
It's DeJounte Murray.
27.
Yeah, I mean,
could be worse, man. I mean, 27's not. He's got a good few years left, and the way he contributes, like he'll contribute to a team.
Yeah, and then he just signed a
God, man. We're talking about Trae Young being done. This man is he's like 4 days removed from a 45-14 game.
I'm not saying he's done. I'm just saying he's not good enough to be your franchise player.
No, like, I don't think so. That's a pretty damn good game.
No, I know. I mean, like he's decent. Like he's a good playmaker. He's one of the leading assist getters in the league, and he shoots volumes. But, like, I mean, he's a nothing on defense. He's a nothing off the ball on the offensive end. You know, he's not, like, someone who he's not good enough to be as bad as he is everywhere else in the court.
I feel like his defensive, he's enough of a defensive liability that it warrants you moving you off to of invest him if you don't have the pieces in place to hide it.
And even if you do, it's still going to be hard.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, once you get to the playoffs, that's victim area. DeJounte Murray, of course, just so you know, he has a new contract cut kicking in this next season. That'll have him for another 4 years, $115 million, it looks like. So it's going to be basically a $30 million player. So they could look into trading him as well. They'd probably get a pretty decent haul for him as well in the trade market if they look at moving on from him next season. So the Atlanta Hawks have a lot of options ahead of them. I don't see them getting better with this team. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's time.
All right. So we're moving on to our early MVP candidates. So who do you have right now as your favorite for MVP? Obviously, Nikola Jokic is leading the league in total points, rebounds, and assists, mm-hmm. which is a big surprise for everybody who's ever watched Nikola Jokic play.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else that you have your eyes on for MVP?
Devin Booker,
okay.
Devin Booker.
Yeah.
How about Shea?
I'm on this Devin Booker hill, bro. Devin Booker's the MVP for me.
So Shea's right now 29. So basically 30 points, basically 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He's got an effective field goal percentage of 57%. He's got his so far this season. He has what looks like 13 Kevin Knox careers worth of win shares. Comparatively, Devin Booker is sitting at 28 points, almost 6 rebounds, almost 8.5 assists a game. His effective field goal percentage is only 53%, and he's only right now sitting at about 5 Kevin Knox careers in win shares.
I'm not changing my pick.
Yeah. Another option could be Tyrese Halliburton, 27 points. Only 4 rebounds, sitting at almost 12 assists a game. His effective field goal percentage is the highest of the three we talked about, 63%. And he's got, it looks like, 10 Kevin Knox careers worth of win shares. This season. Career-wise, it's significantly higher. I think that that about names all the ones I can think of. Anthony Edwards, maybe?
Yeah.
What are you gonna say?
I'm all in on Booker. I think the Suns are gonna finish top 2 in the West. I'm all in on Booker.
I think I think I just named 3 people that are higher than Booker. Like right
you
now,
asked me for my opinion, brother.
Well, I get it, but you gave the homer. Okay, fine. Scottie Barnes is gonna be the MVP of the season.
I don't dislike it. He's been really good.
I do. The Toronto Raptors are going to finish top of the East, and Scotty Barnes.
I mean, their record right now is 9-11. Show respect.
Yeah, never forget. Never forget when Scotty Barnes got them to 9-11. Scotty, I love looking at the stat line for Scotty. Almost 10 rebounds, almost 20 points, almost 6 assists.
How's about an outside respectful nod to Franz Wagner?
Well, Franz has only recently just started playing. Like, he knows how to play basketball. Also, you notice how Orlando started getting really good once only started getting good once they started letting Franz cook a little bit more and stopped letting Paolo hog the ball all the time. How about this for an outside candidate? Joel Embiid, 32 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists.
Coming from you, this is hilarious. Yeah, Embiid. It made you MVP.
Effective field goal percentage, 52%, so almost as low as Booker's. And 11 Kevin Knox careers and win shares.
Embiid is my MVP just because I know he's going to make you insufferable.
Alternatively, we could just go with the tried and true method of the Nikola Jokic, 29 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists.
Honestly,
field goal percentage is 60%, and then a a league high of what is that, four, it'd be 15 Kevin Knox careers in 1 year.
Honestly, this might be Luka Doncic's year.
Okay, Luka. Let's look up Luka. That's a good one. Because Dallas has actually been pretty good, too. And Luka's been crazy as usual. 31.5 points, 8.5 rebounds, 8.5 assists. Effective field goal percentage of 57.7. Like, for a high-volume scorer, outside of what you get out of Jokic and, I guess, Tyrese Haliburton, that's ridiculously high. But his win shares, he's only sitting at, it looks like, 9 Kevin Knox career win shares. He's not even double digits on that. That's some Devin Booker numbers.
That's pretty bad. That's the death now. That's bad. In our fantasy league, Nikola Jokic is on pace for over 6,000 fantasy points.
That's a lot of fantasy points.
That's fucking bonkers.
Yeah, he's pretty good at basketball.
That's better than his pace last year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
this motherfucker is crazy.
He's no Jokic, you know what I mean?
Jesus Christ, man.
It's so hard to have the MVP conversation because you have all these players where you're like, man, this guy is having an insane season. I can't believe it. So like they have to make it. They have, like, Shea, for instance, or like Tyrese Haliburton. Tyrese Haliburton should be an MVP of this league. I mean, 67% effective field goal percentage, damn near 30 points, averaging almost 12 fucking assists a game. And he's, what, maybe the fourth option? And then you go to look at Jokic, and it's just insane. It's disgusting. It's not fair. He's inhuman. He's inhuman. I don't understand. He's a Superman at basketball. He doesn't give a fuck about the sport. And he looks like a dumpy, like, Eastern European carpet salesman.
Do you remember when the Mavericks won their NBA championship?
Yes.
So when I see him run the court in slow motion, the name that I think of is Brian Cardinal, the janitor.
He looks like he wants to sell me a vacuum cleaner.
I'm just gonna drop a photo of fucking Brian Cardinal. Like, is there a video? Like, there's gonna be a video of him just fucking. No, it wasn't. I'm offended on his behalf. Even though I'm the one who offended. His nickname is not the janitor; it's the custodian.
Oh, I can't wait for the next nickname and nickname thing. I found so many good ones.
The custodian. Oh man, it is what,
you want to go with? You want to see a new a fun one?
Sure.
Avika Zubac.
Avika Zubac.
His nicknames on Basketball Reference: Zublock, Zublocka, Big Z, Zubak. Or Tupac? Sorry. Zupac? And El Cidor. Seems Spanish.
I don't think any of those upset Mike Mountain Mike Conley.
Zublocka is an awesome nickname.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's
no,
great.
No.
The reference is Chewbacca. Like, I mean, it's
no,
Zublocka.
No, no. He doesn't get blocks like that. What is his? He's not known for his defensiveness.
Let's see here. His blocks. Come on. He's averaging 1.5 blocks this season. That's not terrible.
There are guards who average more than him.
I mean, maybe Amen Thompson, but not very many.
All right, let's take a look then.
Well, where's this picture of this this custodian guy?
Yeah, I couldn't find a good one in my little glance there. I'm thinking that it's going to be easier for you to find a video, because what I'm picturing here is him running in slow motion. Like,
Like in Baywatch.
Not exactly like in Baywatch. He's gonna be wearing some clothes, but
he wore some clothes in Baywatch.
The custodian keeps on all its clothes.
Do you remember when?
Hornets at home.
Well, you know, the Hornets, they don't look great right now, Coach. I gotta go Knicks.
Is it gonna be at home? Did you say that the Knicks will be at home or the Hornets are gonna be at home? Because I'm not sure how many of their players can leave the state.
Knicks at home.
All right, so we'll go next then.
I mean, if the Hornets beat the Spurs by 15 to 20, surely the Knicks beat them by 40.
Like, if they have supervision, do you think they'll let them go with, like, ankle bracelets or something?
Do they gotta have their parents sign a release form?
Didn't they do that with Caldwell Pope? A few years ago.
Did they do
that? Am I misremembering that?
That is not a story that I'm familiar with, so I'm going to need somebody to look into that.
Oh, man.
Please, Baldy, contact the Vatican. We need an update on Pope.
I hope I'm right. I hope I'm right about this.
Yeah, so I think currently at the Vatican, it's like 3 a.m., so we'll probably get them tomorrow.
With that attitude, you won't get them at all.
You're listening to the Fool Court Press Podcast.
All right, back in bed than ever. You're tuning into the Fool Court Press Podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. My name's Lufa with Sandy over here. We're going to talk about, are they for real? Orlando Magic, Sandy, are they for real?
I think so.
Right now they are sitting second in the East. With a record of 14-6, that's tied with the Milwaukee Bucks, 2 wins ahead of 4th place Philadelphia 76ers. Where do you think the Orlando Magic are going to finish this season?
I know that I projected them pretty low compared to them, even though I love this team.
Yeah,
I think they're going to finish in the top 5 or the top 6.
Yeah,
I think that the reason that I think that is because they're second in the East. And Paolo Banchero was kind of poopy to start the year.
Yeah, I mean, and
they survived it.
They are the number one defensive team in the league. That said, they got torched by the Brooklyn Nets, in particular.
Yeah. Big McHale had himself a game.
All right. How about the Oklahoma City Thunder? Are they for real? Second in the West, 13-6 record. They have one less win than third place Denver Nuggets, but 2 more wins than fourth place Sacramento Kings.
I think that they could be considered real, but here's the question: what are they going to do when Shea takes his annual injury sabbatical?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Shea's been fucking fantastic this season, but
right.
I feel like,
but he gets hurt every year.
I feel like they have a few players that had to take a back seat because of Chet that could jump in and start improving their overall quality of touches. And the one that I'm thinking of is Jalen Williams in particular, who's done really well this season. He's been amazing when he's had the ball in his hands. He's been amazing when he hasn't had the ball in his hands. It's just that I feel like if his usage jumped up a couple more points, he'd probably be able to maintain that level that level of play. So I think they have a lot of depth. My question with them isn't necessarily if Shea gets hurt. It's what happens if Chet gets hurt. Because I feel like ball handling wise, they have a lot of options, but I just feel like what Chet's been giving them on the defensive end and the offensive end is something that they don't have in any of their other bigs.
The Which one is impossible other
to find a backup for Chet, to be honest. But
as young as they are they going to come together when this giddy hammer falls, whatever it is that happens, if anything at all? Or are they going to be distracted by it and all that? Because everyone always loves the platitude, it's a distraction. Well, it's kind of worse than a distraction.
We saw kind of a blueprint for this in the Memphis Grizzlies, and I feel like the Memphis Grizzlies handled their star player going through that relatively well.
Off the court.
Josh Giddey Josh Giddey isn't nearly as impactful as John Morant is for the Memphis Grizzlies, I don't know if it would be that big of a deal. But and especially since, like, you know, while Josh Giddey gives them a lot of options, I don't think he's someone where they're a completely different team if he's not there. You know what I mean?
Is it someone that they could just cut bait and move on from?
I don't know if they'd want to do that. I don't know if it's going to warrant doing that. Like I said earlier, we don't know really a lot of what's happened with the Josh Giddey thing, and we'll have to wait and see what the investigations turn up.
Oh, my God. Just give me one second here, because we're talking about problematic players. And I saw something funny on Twitter. And we haven't – it's not listed on the rundown at all. I am going to post this in Discord, and what I want you to do is click on this tweet and just read it. Just read it for the class here. All
right.
Because you're going to see what he's replying to as well.
Yeah. I think I know which one you're talking about. So Miles Bridges is not expected to be on the Charlotte Hornets roster next year, per at Jake L. Fisher, HT Real at Real GM. This was posted by NBA Central and at the Dunk Central, December 1st. Responded by Miles Bridges with a question mark.
It's finding out on Twitter, and then there's finding out on Twitter.
Yeah, we're not bringing you back, bud.
He's been pretty good.
I mean, yeah. I mean, as a basketball player,
he's been really good. As a person,
as a human being, he's trash, and he shouldn't be in the league. The Indiana Pacers, are they for real?
They are 10-8. If this is their real, they're ass.
You think that they should be better?
We had them in the top three.
You had them in the top three. I had them in top four. I mean,
that's the same thing. They're like seventh, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're sixth, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Come on, semantics, man.
They're pretty, like, I mean, they're not tremendously out of the picture. They have the best offense in the league. I think that they have to figure out what to do defensively. Basically, every night against the Indiana Pacers, somebody's having their best game of their career at this point in time. Because
The Heat were just third like a few days ago. They're all the way down to seven now.
Yeah, they lost.
Rollercoaster of the NBA.
They lost to the Indiana Pacers. They gave up 30 points to Bruce Brown.
Oh, wow, Brucey. Yeah. He'll give you a game.
Yeah, he was a season high and highest in the game. And it was a ridiculous, like, 140-something to 120-something game, because that's all the Indiana Pacers games. Best team to watch right now in the NBA.
Do we think this offensive rate is sustainable? Yes. Maybe if they were the Kings.
It's as sustainable as Tyrese Halliburton's healthy. Like, if Tyrese is healthy, it's sustainable. If he's not healthy, it's not sustainable. The man is a number one offense in and of himself.
That's fair.
The Minnesota Timberwolves, currently number one in the West. Are they for real? Sandy Sandora. The Sanderson.
No.
No, you're not the Sanderson, or no, they're not for real.
They are not the number one seed. They're not this. This is not who they're going to be. I think they're good. I don't think they're this good. They're going to fall down to earth a little bit. They're going to be like the five or the six. Maybe the four. They're not going to finish with a better record than the Nuggets. I don't think they finish with a better record than the Suns or the Kings. I don't think they finish with a better record than the Thunder or the Mavs. There are a lot of teams that I trust more because seen them do it more.
Around this time last year, we had the Utah Jazz sitting in a similar position, and I think Duke was on there saying that the Jazz were for real and they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, Duke. I'm usually on the nose here when it comes to these teams and what they do. And like the Heat, I said, if they survived, they had a chance of going to the finals. Because when teams have been there before, the regular season really doesn't make much of a difference. They know what they need to do. They know what buttons they need to push.
I think with me, like, I think the Minnesota Timberwolves that we are judging are a Minnesota Timberwolves team that didn't have Cat last season and had a dysfunctional point guard who was causing problems in the locker room.
Yeah.
And I think that the Minnesota Timberwolves will only go as far as the ankles of Mike Conley. But I think it's also inarguable that the Minnesota Timberwolves, since Mike Conley's come over to their team, have been one of the best teams in the West. And I don't think that them finishing top four is unrealistic.
Sure.
Like, do I think that they're the best team in the West? I think the Denver Nuggets are the best team in the league. I still think that, like, I still have faith that the Pelicans are going to finish in the top four. But that said, you know, like the Suns, I think that, like, if they can figure out how to stay healthy with their big three, I think that the Suns can finish in the top four. So, like, do I think that that still leaves room for me for the Minnesota Timberwolves? So, I think they could finish top four. I don't know, like, if for real means that they have to finish top in the West, or if they're I think a home court playoff team is definitely reasonable.
So, who do you think is most likely to fall out of the top four? The Kings or the Thunder?
I think that the Thunder, like I kind of alluded to earlier, I think that the Thunder have a roster hole. Like, their team is really dependent upon a player that came off of a season-ending injury to start his career that doesn't have a build that suggests that he'll remain healthy on a consistent basis at this period of time. While he definitely has done a lot to add some strength to his frame and such, I think that Chet Holmgren is still an injury risk. I think anytime you're relying so much on a person who's like over 7 foot tall, there's a lot of questions about the injury, possible injuries, unless of course they're built like Nikola Jokic,
Joel Embiid,
which is like Joel Embiid had plenty of injury questions at this point in time in his career. Like,
he's been pretty consistent the last few years though, compared to how he was when he started.
I'm saying, like, if you compare where Chet is right now to where Joel Embiid was at that period of time in his career, like, Joel had to get to a point where he got that big and healthy, right?
And he learned how to play with his frame. He learned how to fall on people instead of fall on the floor.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, for me personally, I think that the Thunder have a huge vulnerability. I also think that the Suns and the Pelicans are better than the Thunder as currently constituted, even if they didn't have that vulnerability. If both the Suns and the Pelicans are able to overcome their own injury vulnerabilities.
Hey, man. Right? Like, so, as this podcast is Sun Guy, I'll take that. I will say...
But I think the Sacramento Kings, I like what the Sacramento Kings are doing. I just think that the Minnesota Timberwolves are a better team. I think that the Suns are a better team. I think the Pelicans are a better team. It's not to say that I don't think that they couldn't do something in the playoffs or they don't belong to be in the top four. If they end up being in the top four, then that's certainly something that I could see them doing, right? So...
Like the one stretch where we had Bradley Beal, they've already had a game where they scored 70 in the first half. Like,
I mean,
that Suns offense is stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, that's 70 in the first half. That's basically what the Indiana Pacers are doing on a game over game basis. It's like, it's,
I trust the Suns defense more than I trust the Pacers defense.
I mean, a little bit more. I think the Suns.
I am who I am.
But yeah, no. I think for me personally, I think the Minnesota Timberwolves. If for real means that they have to finish first in the West, then I don't think that. But if for real means that I think that they could be a home playoff team or even just a top six playoff team, I think I would be comfortable saying that the Minnesota Timberwolves are for real in that case.
I don't think they're a play-in because I think that they're going to finish above the Warriors and the Lakers and the Clippers. I don't believe in the Clippers at all. I did before they traded for James Harden, which is hilarious because you would assume that he'd improve the team. And
I just don't I don't know what to make of the Clippers. I don't know what to make of them on it. Like, until I've seen more from them, I don't want to make a judgment on it. Like, I understand integrating a player that didn't play for the first little bit of the season, and just in general, they have so many names on their roster, and it's easy to both be endeared and also wary when you see those names. So for me personally, I'm just trying to I think that I could see the Clippers being a top six team. I don't think I'm comfortable enough to put money on it. Like, I could see them just being in the bottom six as well. Who's the motherfucker?
Harden. That motherfucker's been trying to integrate himself to teams the last 3 years. That motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean,
all he does is integrate.
But like, I think when you come out of it, you're like, okay, Harden is a good playmaker, like a great playmaker, and like a great offensive organizer, something that the LA Clippers desperately needed. And the question is what did they lose? Like, I mean, they lost Batum, who was a regular starter for them. They lost Marcus Morris, who had fallen out of the rotation for them. Like they didn't really lose a lot of minutes out of their roster, even though they lost four players, or they moved on from four players. So I think there is a world where this works out fine for them. They just need time to integrate it. That said, they also have three huge health risks, and Russ coming off the bench, which we've seen blow up in other teams' faces in the past. So it's hard for me to like get all in behind these guys, but I think that there's a potential they have a lethal offense. I think there's a potential they have a lethal defense, and I think there's a potential for them to be a top six team. I just I'm not comfortable enough. I've believed too much in the Clippers in the last 5 years to all of a sudden, or to just buy into it again. It's like fool me once kind of situation that I'm in with them at this point in time.
So, moving on here, who's been your favorite player to watch?
My favorite player to watch has been Tyrese Halliburton. If I'm excluding Raptors, like if I'm including Raptors, man, it's been a fucking delight watching Scottie Barnes this season, and like just the massive leap, even though like statistically he hasn't like made like a huge leap, like
I feel like he has,
you know, like statistics wise like I think he's jumped up over like, let me just pull him up real quick. I think it's about 3 points over his previous career high in point, or like his career averages in points. Let me just see here. So right now, so it's just a little under 4 point jump. He has had just a little under two rebound jump, and then one assist jump. His effective field goal percentage is only increased by 2%. So like statistically, it's not like he's going from like a borderline starter to an all NBA player kind of thing. Like it's not like what we saw out of Shea last season, or out of like Lauri Markkanen, right? But it is.
I mean, he's basically a whole other. He's one more steal a game. He's a whole another assist a game. He's three more boards a game. He's
like that's where I think like, that's where I think like his actual game is blown up. It's his defensive end, like the defensive stuff. Like before, you always looked at him and you're like, there's a good defender in that body. Right, mm-hmm. It's just you never saw it manifest. But man, his help defense, he's becoming a monster. There's like obviously like the Raptors, like one of the reasons why I hope they're able to retain OG and OB moving forward. Obviously, he's young enough to fit around this core and be with Scottie Barnes. But the tag team of him and Scottie Barnes on star players, everyone's having their worst game of the season when they come up against the Raptors right now. And that's because, you know, Scottie and OG are a tag team from hell on the defensive end. And that's something that's completely new to Scottie's game this season. If you ask me right now, if I took names out of it, did I think Scottie Barnes would be an all-star this season, at the beginning of the season? I'd say I would hope he would become one. At this point in time, if he doesn't make the all-star team, I would be disappointed.
Yeah, I feel like he will be.
And it's quite clear that he was the best player in his draft. You know, a lot of people thought it was Evan Mobley. There is an argument for Alperen Sengun. You know, there's always been hope that Cade will have developed into that guy. Josh Giddey, you know, even Franz have made a push at some points in time in these last three seasons. But at this point in time, you look at Scottie Barnes and you look at what the other players are giving you on a night in, night out basis. Scottie just does so much more with so much less help on his team than those guys. And he's clearly a franchise player.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can say that about any of the other players at this point in time. Like you want to believe you can build a team around Cade. you've pretty much been proven that Mobley's going to be a key role player, but he's not going to be a guy that you can center your team around. You like Franz, you know, Franz, I think there's still a potential for Franz to be a centerpiece, but I don't think he's ever going to get that in Orlando. And Şengün has shown that he has the potential of being a centerpiece, but he hasn't taken that step like Scotty has this year.
I feel like he's got more. It's different when you're a center.
Yeah.
He's not going to handle the ball as much as Scotty will. He's not going to be defending the best ball handler on the floor like Scotty at times will when OG's not.
Yeah,
it's a different game. I think Şengün's blow up has been really impressive, but it's not the same. It's not the same type of thing. That,
like if you were to,
it's an unfair comparison to make.
Like if you're to take care of that draft class right now, like if you're like, okay, I have to build a team from scratch. Which player are you taking? Are you taking Şengün or are you taking Scotty?
I think you take Scotty. I think Scotty fits the mold of the way the NBA is today better. But I think Şengün would go second, and I think Franz would go third.
Yeah, I don't think I disagree with that. Like I'm just looking at their the draft class right now. I'm ranking them by win shares right now. Evan Mobley has the higher win shares, but win shares is a big stat.
Remind me who went top three in that draft.
So top three in that draft were Cade Cunningham went first to Detroit. Jalen Green went second to Houston. 3, Evan Mobley, 4, Scotty Barnes, 5, Jalen Suggs, who's also shown to be a really great player right now for the Orlando Magic.
He's a dog defensively.
6, Josh Giddey, 7, Jonathan Kuminga, who, you know, it seems like a bit of a miss for Golden State Warriors.
He's not a good fit.
Franz Wagner is 8th for Orlando. Davion Mitchell went to Sacramento at 9. Zaire Williams at 10 to the New Orleans Pelicans. James Bouknight, who is out of the NBA, went to Charlotte. Josh Primo.
Of course, it's Charlotte.
Josh Primo, who was out of the NBA, but then came back on the problematic Clippers. Chris Duarte, who is a bench player for the Sacramento Kings. Moses Moody for the Golden State Warriors at 14, who definitely seems like he's a better player than Jonathan Kuminga at this point in time for them. Corey Kispert, the three-point legend from the Washington Wizards. Then 16 was Elfrin Şengün. Trey Murphy was Memphis.
Boy. And Trey Murphy, too. Jeez. Yeah.
No, that's a great draft class. Trey Mann for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Kai Jones for the New York Knicks. Jalen Johnson of the Atlanta Hawks. That's the new guy. Yeah. That's a guy who's like really blown up this season. Then outside of that, who's another guy? Quentin Grimes went 25th to the Clippers. Bones Highland 26th to the Nuggets. Cam Thompson 27th to the Nets.
Thomas,
you're right. Sorry. Dayron Sharp went to Phoenix. Is there anyone else? Saltian Dalma went to Utah for 30. James Robinson early to the New York Knicks. McBride. Yeah, after that, there's not a lot of players here. Delano Banton.
Yeah, this is a really good class, but I feel like a lot of reshuffling would be done.
Yeah.
Like more than you see most years.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not like, and I think it's a great class. Like, you look at this class and you're like, man, there's potential for like 5 or 6 all-stars out of this class, which is huge, right? Like, it's a huge win, and that'd be a huge, like, draft year. Like, it's a big, like, you compare this to, like, even, like, 2 seasons ago, or, like, 2 seasons ago, like, it's a completely different draft, right? But, that said, I think if you're to build a team right now out of the players that I listed, Scotty Barnes would be my number one pick. I think I agree. Elfrin Şengün would be number 2. And then from there, Franz, probably Evan Mobley, then Cade, and then maybe Josh Giddey or something like that. I'm not sure.
I would go Greener Sucks.
Yeah, so it's a pretty deep draft class, but I think that it's – you know, there had been some debate in the past, but I think it's pretty clear that Scotty is the best player out of that draft at this point.
Well, Şengün keeps on rising. Scotty keeps on rising.
And if Cade figures it out, like it looked like he was going to do at the beginning of his career, we might be comparing this draft group to some of the all-time ones in a decade.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a possibility for that. Like right now, I think that there's a possibility that you could have three players out of this draft class going to the All-Star game this season. Like, I think there's an outside chance of Franz and Scotty and Elfrin Şengün. Like, I mean, there's a really good chance he could make the All-Star game this season. So, not a lot of big depth in the West, right? So,
my favorite player to watch so far. His book, but non-son, it would be Şengün, it would be Franz Wagner, it would be Paolo, I don't want to go all Magic, even like I'm kind of becoming a Magic guy, but there are other teams and other guys, like,
can be honest, like
Halliburton, De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. Like, I gotta be honest, my two favorite types of players are, like, dogging defensive players and then beautiful playmakers. And yeah. If you put a gun to my head and said that I had to watch three players for the rest of my life, and that those three players ended up being Tyrese Halliburton, Scottie Barnes, and Jalen Suggs, I'd be a really happy guy. Jalen Suggs has been just a fucking pit bull. Like, I saw him block a Jokic shot. He got Jokic so pissed off, Jokic threw him like 6 feet.
Jokic has a habit of throwing people.
Yeah, but right. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, for that like 6 foot nothing dude to just go in to like block a Jokic shot and piss him off. Oh, so beautiful. Like, I mean, like, obviously Jokic is a super fun player to watch too, but like, I think, you know, Jalen Suggs, he's just, you know, I watched, like, the Magic just completely dominated the Raptors. Then they played last, and Jalen Suggs was a big part of that, hitting some pretty big threes, and just, like, it just being just such a pain in the ass to watch, like, against the Raptors. But I couldn't hate on him, because he was just so fucking fun to watch.
I really liked where that team is going to end up. Like, they're young, but that's such a promising core. Yeah, across sure. the board. I really like what that team's future holds. Hopefully, if they all stay healthy, even Isaac, for all of his issues, he's such a defensive just monster.
Yeah, I mean, like, hopefully he can stay healthy at this point in time. Like, I get he's a piece of shit. Like, I mean, like,
yeah, but it's not like I'm trying to just talk basketball with it. Well, you know,
I'm just like, you know, like, if you ask me who I feel more comfortable enjoying their basketball game, Jonathan Isaac or Miles Bridges, I mean, that choice is pretty easy to make.
Yeah. I think with Isaac, because when he's been back, he had an issue with something, so he's missed a couple games, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's a big issue. I don't think it's the same issue he's had in the past. But he's only been averaging like 18, 19, 20 minutes a game. I think if you can get him up to 25 and eventually up to maybe 28, like, and I don't know if that's possible, to be honest with you. I don't know if his body can handle it.
Yeah.
But if you can get him up to 28, 29, 30 minutes a night, and that'd probably be the hard max.
I don't know if he'd get there. Like, I think he's probably happy getting him to 20 at this point.
I think if you can get him to 25, that team has a legitimate shot at winning the East, just because of his what he does defensively. Because if you can take those guys in the starting lineup off the court and have him come out there and wreak havoc for 25 minutes a night,
yeah,
I don't see how teams can score on you.
I mean, like, it's insane how, like, I mean, like, you look at their team and you look at the measurements of their team, you knew that this team should be good defensively, and they just never piece it together.
We were talking last year about the game where they started five guys all above 6'9".
Yeah. Like,
just 6'10", 6'10", 7'3".
You look at the team and you're like, you knew that there was a good defensive team, and they just never had seemed to put it together up until last season. But yeah, no, I mean, Jonathan Isaac, you know, he is somebody who could be a missing piece. That said, win the East, do I think that Orlando would end up beating Boston at this point in time?
I'm not saying this year.
Yeah.
I'm saying in general, you piece what they have right now going, and if you can crank him up to 25 minutes, maybe next year, maybe the year after, with these guys progressing and developing as they are.
That would mean he would get a second contract or another contract, which I'm not sure that he will at this point in time.
I think he might get a minimum. Yeah, if he shows that he can be healthy, he'll sign a minimum because he contributes when he's healthy.
Yeah, I think he's got a completely non-guaranteed. Yeah, so he's completely non-guaranteed next season for $17.5 million. I don't know if the Magic will find enough reason to do that. But that said, they don't have a lot of salary on their books, so there might not be a reason not to. Like, just take the flyer.
They've held on to him this entire time through all these injuries, and they're still continuing to give him minutes and continuing to stand behind him.
Yeah.
If you believe that he can be healthy and he can contribute in a meaningful way, I think you hold on to him. I think you keep him.
I think that
otherwise he goes and contributes elsewhere.
Yeah, I think that concludes our favorite players to watch this season so far.
It ends with Jonathan fucking Isaac.
Where all things, with all things that are my favorite, should end with Jonathan Isaac.
Now you brought up Miles Bridges too.
Now we're going to the man. It's such a piss off. I like Miles Bridges and LaMelo Ball. Like, they were my favorite thing to watch 2 to 3 years ago, and ever since he's just ruined it. He ruined it for me, and I've hated the Charlotte Hornets ever since.
I really want LaMelo Ball to get his health situation sorted and get out of Charlotte and go somewhere. Just go somewhere and be free, my friend. Go somewhere. I don't know why I called him my friend.
He was starting to turn it up, too. It was just getting so good for him. And, like, it's such a shame.
He was cooking with gas.
They looked like a feisty team. They looked like the team that you and I were like, man, this team could win 30, 35 games. Like, I don't see why they wouldn't.
It all hinges on LaMelo Ball's health. It's just stark. You know, I was looking up Lonzo.
Yeah.
And just looking at what he looked like when he was playing.
Yeah.
And LaMelo is so much better than he was. It's night and fucking day.
Well, when it comes to the offensive end, he is. But Lonzo is a significantly better defender.
LaMelo is a dog when he wants to be.
Yeah, like, I mean, LaMelo is much bigger, right? Like, I mean, Alonzo, like, not bigger in the sense that, he's taller, but not thicker.
LaMelo
is a much thicker player.
Did you not see what he did to Tyrese Halliburton in that Pacers game at the end of the game?
No, I didn't know what happened.
He shut his ass down.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
I mean, he should be better. He's long as fuck.
If you're looking this up, go on and play it on the thing, because I want to see it again. he shut his ass down.
Yeah, but it's such a shame. Like, I hope he gets back. I think they said 2 weeks is when they'll reevaluate him. So hopefully he comes back.
I don't want another season loss. He's young.
Yeah.
He's so promising. The talent is so there. It's just sad.
Well, the thing is, so obviously, like, when, you know, he won Rookie of the Year over Anthony Edwards, and a lot of people thought, like, you know, Anthony ever like the that LaMelo was the best player in that draft, like, you know, even though he was taken third. And, you know, Anthony Edwards has come on, like, the last, like, you know, 6 or 7 months. Obviously, with the Wolves making the playoffs, and now they're top team in the West now, and everyone's like, well, obviously, Anthony Edwards has always been the better player. And I'm like, I don't know, man. If LaMelo just got fucking healthy and, like, he could put on a season,
right?
I think that it would be a lot closer of an argument than I think a lot of people would be willing to have.
For sure.
Like, I have LaMelo in the Halliburton category when it comes, like, I don't think he's as efficient a scorer as Halliburton.
No.
And, like, I think that he's a little bit more selfish on the offensive end than Halliburton.
I think so. Yeah.
That's fair. Like, I think they're a class. Like, you know, like, there's that meme of, like, you know, of Alfred Sengun being Charmander and Sabonis being Charmeleon and Jokic being Charizard. I think you're looking at I think you're looking at an evolution chain there between Halliburton and LaMelo. And I think Halliburton's a significantly better player than Edwards at this point.
Edwards?
Yeah.
LaMelo?
Or not, Halliburton's better than Edwards is what I meant to say. Is that not what I said?
Who is Edwards in this?
Anthony Edwards.
I thought you were talking about LaMelo Ball.
Oh yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, so people say that LaMelo Ball.
Oh, okay,
like say that Anthony Edwards is a significantly better player than LaMelo Ball. They were drafted at the same time. There's obviously a link there.
Yeah.
I think that Halliburton's a better player than Edwards, and I think that LaMelo Ball, if was given the time to be healthy and really develop, he's in that same vein of player as Halliburton.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I could see
the argument between Edwards and LaMelo being closer if LaMelo could just get healthy. But
if LaMelo is healthy, I think he is in the conversation for, like, best young star in the league. And I don't think it's disputable. Because when he has been out there and he's been healthy, even this year, he's been electric. It's been crazy. His offensive game is absolutely beautiful. He passes the ball. He's a better defender than you want to give him credit for. And I think it's just a damn shame that he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So the in-season tourney, the semifinals.
Oh, I thought you were going to pull that video up. Do you want me to link it?
No, I didn't. I didn't look for it. Sorry.
All right, I'll link it. Give me a second. we're gonna watch this. We're gonna look up LaMelo and Halliburton here. Just give me a second.
All right, while you're doing that, let's talk quarterfinals here. So quarterfinals of the in-season tournament have been selected, starting off tomorrow with the Celtics versus Pacers and Pelicans versus Kings. I got Pacers and Pelicans in that in those matches. Tuesday, we have the Knicks versus Bucks and Suns versus Lakers. I got myself some Bucks-Suns in that matchup. What are you thinking?
I want to go Suns. I like the Bucks. And who were the other two?
So Celtics, Pacers, and then Pelicans, Kings.
I'm going to go Pacers and Kings.
Pacers, Kings. So that would have Bucks versus Pacers for you and Kings versus Suns. Mine would be Pelicans versus Suns. I would have Pelicans and Pacers winning those games. What do you have? Bucks versus Pacers.
I would go probably the Bucks.
Bucks. And then Kings versus Suns.
I would probably go Suns.
And then you have Suns over the Bucks in the finals?
I would have the Suns getting revenge on the Bucks.
Awesome.
In the quote-unquote finals.
Do they hang a banner?
Are we doing banners for the in-season tournament? I don't know. Who's to say? It's the first time.
I mean, it's the Suns. They got to hang the banner, right? There's not a lot else in those rafters.
Is Devin Booker eating 50 nuggets after the game?
Pacers over Pelicans for me. I think the Pacers hang that banner.
I don't think there's a banner. Why would they hang an in-season banner?
Why wouldn't you? They hang division banners. This thing means a lot more than the goddamn division banner.
If you win the in-season tournament banner and lose in the playoffs, people are going to be laughing at you for that banner. They're going to call it a Mickey Mouse banner. Oh, here we go.
Did he smack him in the face?
What a blunder by Halliburton. Wow. Tyrese Halliburton.
Locked him up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was pretty impressive. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with the class.
I'm such a LaMelo guy.
Yeah, I know for sure. I'm right there with you. And that'll about do it for the Full Court Press podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. You can leave a voicemail at our voicemail number, 724-FU-FOOLS at 724-383-6657. Follow us on Twitter at FCourt Press, and topic suggestions can be sent to FCP Rundown. Also, you can find us on Instagram and Threads at Full Court Press Podcast. I'm Lufo. I'm joined today by Sandy. Sandy, say goodbye.
It's Sandora now, thanks.
All right. You just keep having fun, bros.
Or die trying.